right to us. Here we go, everybody. The Tom and Curley Show. We certainly do welcome your input. Tom and I try to read as many letters as we possibly can. One gets a chance to be the letter of the day. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well. Coming in through the Stay Roofing text line at 98973. Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar brought in by the beautiful horses. That'll happen in just a little bit. She chooses a letter, but first let's dive in. By the way, for the listeners and viewers, something for the Facebook monster. I'm going to present a problem to you. I'll send it, put it on video. Doug and I want your input because we're going to try to pick up a shed and move it 50 yards. And we both looked at it, and Doug in his sort of hazy marijuana view of the world said, man, we could really that thing up. And I said, I know, I don't want to any more than you. But, you know, Doug, I'm going to ask the viewers and the listeners of the Tom and Curley Show to help us with this. Because we're going to try to pick up an entire shed, 16 by 10, lift it up and move it, Tom. So,
sounds like a job for Lady Treasure.
Or David Blaine. Just call that guy.
Either way, it's magical.
Blaine would have to get in it and then himself lift up and then lift the whole thing up. But he'd have to have that weird sort of no expression on his face while doing it. Okay, here we go. Erin was just mentioning this. It's a woman in Pierce County. She's in love. I think her husband's in the military. She might be in the military as well. And 80%, by the way, Tom, of the people that would be attending said wedding, the nuptials, are vaccinated. So there you go. That's pretty good. But when she's talking to Dory about the problems after contacting Super J's office and finding out, you know, what the science is about a wedding, you get a chance to experience what's it like to have a wedding in Pierce County with the science of Governor Jay Inslee.
You want to hear some?
Yes, this story, I'm coming into cold. All I have in front of me is a list of weddings, funerals, and events, COVID-19 requirements, phase
yeah,
one,
that's
phase
all I got
two,
too.
Phase three. I don't know what the story
here we go.
Is. Except
here is a woman. This is firsthand. Yeah. What she's trying
to
have a wedding.
It's been a roller coaster of all of these back and forth with the phases, and we're just trying to do our best just to have as close to a normal wedding as possible, and that's just become so impossible. These unpredictable changes, and we don't know. We can't make heads or tails of any of these restrictions, and it's just exhausting to keep up with. So. We're just tired.
Sounds like either she's crying or got a bit of a cold. How about guests, Tom? Does she have to disinvite?
Well, in phase two, we can have only 103, but we were excited at least under phase three, we wouldn't have to cut our guest list again. And so we were excited to invite anybody that had to be uninvited from the last phase two. So we were just heartbroken to hear that we were now moving back to phase two and had to tell our guests, 30 something of our guests that, sorry, you can't come the week of.
Oh, the disinvite. I mean, it is bad enough at a wedding when you can't invite certain people, but they don't know they haven't been invited, right? They don't know they never got invited. You just like, hey, you guys got what? You got really? You got married? Maybe you get the announcement or something. But to get invited and then have to get on and then disinvite, difficult. Jacob actually attended one of these COVID weddings. I don't know if you had this problem, Jacob, when it comes to dancing, this is what the state of Washington science will tell you.
This is one of the silliest ones, is that we are not allowed to dance with other tables. You are only allowed to dance with your own table. So,
science!
Six people in your dance group, and we are...
That makes no sense at all. Hey, Dory. Dory, we're in the middle of our show, okay?
We have to put a little box on the ground for people to dance in their own little square, and they can dance with another square 6 feet away from them, but they have to be separate. So it doesn't matter if they're traveling together in the same hotel room or, spending holidays together as a family. If they're not at the same table, they're not allowed to dance together.
important.
Well, if you're part of the same household, you can. But anyway, okay.
Not dance partners, Tom. Mm-hmm. Jacob says this is the best time to actually have a wedding if you don't like people.
Right. Well, yes, do tell. What was this Monday wedding that you were at?
Part of Kayla's problem is that she is trying to deal with the fact that Inslee just changed the phases for Pierce County, which is where her wedding is. My sister got married a couple weeks ago now, and she wasn't dealing with that problem. They were at that point, I think, consistently in phase three and had been. So she wasn't dealing with this fluctuation, which is Kayla's main complaint. Mm-hmm. But for us, I mean, there were certainly still some regulations that they were trying to comply with. It just so happened that that my particular sister that did get married was not very invested or interested in having the guests dance or a lot of the more social aspects that you might expect in other weddings. And so she was perfectly happy to blame COVID for this type of wedding that she maybe would have already had otherwise. But now no one has to blame her for maybe some of her unconventional decisions.
How many people that were attending the wedding were vaccinated?
I don't have a percentage. I know. So it was the venue was a 400. I don't know if you call it seat capacity. And she still had about 100 people in attendance. I mean, my sister was actually vaccinated. My mom was vaccinated. I would say, I mean, I still don't think it was widespread. Maybe 10% of the of the attendees.
Here's the bride.
Just waited on hold, just sobbing, totally not even sure what to do and how to go forward, just thinking this is impossible. And I finally got in touch with a staffer, and I just told her my story and what was going on. And I was just asking, you know, the governor, if he could please just reconsider his position and just not roll us back to phase two and just consider how devastating this is, not just to businesses, but you know, all of our vendors and our guests and our family and the ability to be able to just celebrate our wedding day. And I just said, you know, I just don't think that the governor has considered people like us. And, you know, I just asked if he wouldn't be able to reconsider his position, could we at least just move forward since our wedding was planned before these rollbacks under phase three guidelines? And she says, well, you know, we haven't had this question come up, so I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm. We got to get a call from the governor's office at midnight. It would be interesting because apparently you get vaccinated, which you're supposed to get vaccinated. If they're vaccinated, then why? Mm-hmm. And she had said that 80%. Why wouldn't you be able to have that? But maybe vaccines don't work. Is that what the governor's telling us? We see him with a mask on, so I guess vaccines don't work.
Well, you know, these requirements that I have in front of me, it doesn't say anything about vaccination. So I wonder if you can establish if they're really, I mean, 80% vaccination rates, that's a pretty high rate. If that's really true, I would think that these rules, you know, would be modified by vaccinations. That seems awfully high. But if that's the case,
well,
then I think maybe
think
it could,
it,
because you could say you can have groups of 10. You know, you don't even have to wear a mask. Yeah. If you have a house party of all vaccinated people, that, you know, there are no restrictions. So I don't know. I wonder if that can be verified, there may be some flexibility. Listen, I am completely having had a daughter relatively recently, last couple of years, get married. There's nothing more stressful, probably especially for the bride, but for the bride's family and the groom's family, there's nothing more stressful than a wedding. And I can imagine the anxiety, the angst that the, you know, bride and groom are going through when they're trying to plan something and then, you know, if it only been last weekend, now the one weekend later, the rug gets pulled out from under them. I'm completely sympathetic to their emotional toll. My only advice to them, first off, I doubt that it'll be heavily regulated so that they could probably get away with not following to the letter of the law. But
And risk killing people?
Well, that's a risk that you would take. Listen, John, if there really was
they
a
could
risk,
kill
they
people,
would not
Tom.
Want to
they
be.
They could kill they people.
Would, yes, they would not want to be responsible for that. So I'm assuming that they would play it as safe as they see it necessary. But here's what I would do. If that really is the case, I think that you could turn it into a kind of a fun joke. That you're dancing like your table and you got to stay within your square. There could be a memorable pandemic oriented wedding that you can mock at the same time that following the rules.
It's a joke, all right. The band is allowed to play, but each musician must be 20 feet from the other musician. And when you're dancing,
okay, I don't know if
staying
true.
In your square is important, but you're not allowed to talk. So it is a joke. It's called science, according to Super Jay Inslee. And this is the fact that they didn't even think about this, that people might want to go on with their lives. So this woman calls up and says, we were going to get married. This would be, oh, yeah, we hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, How did you not think about people's lives going on?
Well,
this is the same
John,
group of people who said you can get in a boat, but you can't go fishing. Remember that rule? It's the same group. Remember
but
that rule?
Weddings
Remember the science
funerals,
behind that one? Same one. Same group of people that give you that science.
Have been seen as super spreading events. Now that was early on in the process, and I think we've learned a lot more now that we can go ahead and handle these. But I'm just trying to give the bright if the state, and it doesn't sound to me based on what she said to Dory, and again I only know what the clips we played, that the state has come down hard one way or the other. Just said, well, we haven't considered that problem, so they haven't closed the door on it. But I'm just saying, even if they did, and even if in some weird universe they would try to be enforced, that you can still have some fun on your wedding day, acknowledging that you're getting married during a pandemic. There's something distinctive about that, historical about that, that you can have a lot of fun. You can take pictures with masks on, with masks off. You can do dancing within particular squares. Yeah. I mean, there is
That's
a way to kind of make that special, even with the restrictions.
Okay, but so again, the people that I'm they had invited, then they have to disinvite those people.
Well,
so
it sounds like
the people, and they don't get a chance to go to the thing. So,
if I heard correctly, it sounded like that they initially invited people when it was still phase two, and then they were thrilled to find out that it had moved to phase three. This is about a month ago, so they could invite 30 more people, and now they're going to have to disinvite them. So those people, like you were kind of suggesting that, well, those people, now they know they weren't invited. I think they already knew they weren't initially invited. But again, that can be part of,
It's fun. It's just fun. Why don't they
invite
Jay
Inslee? Best of
it's
a tough
fun.
Situation. Because it's emotionally nerve-wracking on so many levels that have nothing to
governor.
Do with the pandemic even.
We should go ahead and make a toast. The governor could get up and make a toast with his mask on. There was a giant group of people that got canceled, 1,200. The Lumen Field vaccine appointments, apparently this is from Cairo 7.
1,200 people got notices from the city of Seattle today saying their vaccine appointments at Lumen Field were canceled. Eddie Galdamez is one of several Cairo 7 employees with canceled appointments.
I was definitely excited to finally get it, and then just kind of got slapped in the face to say, hey, no, you have to wait again.
The vaccinations at Lumen Field are Pfizer, but it had people wondering if the cancellations were tied to the Johnson & Johnson halt. Alicia Collins also works at Cairo.
I just assumed they were going to, move all of our first doses to the people who were scheduled for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
The city says the 1,200 people with canceled appointments used links that were intended for volunteers or other specific groups of people. But the links ended up getting posted on social media, even COVIDWA.com. People now scrambling to book a new appointment say once Johnson & Johnson is back online, they would be up for taking it.
I'm willing to, go behind the science and really, get whichever one comes first.
Go behind the science.
I can see how that happens. Nobody is the bad guy here, but links, people think they're doing a favor by posting the links that were meant for individual volunteers, for instance, and then they get posted to the general. And the general audience, like I think Paige and I use that COVID WA website to help track down that place in Yakima. What they do is they just scour all of the addresses they can. And so they inadvertently included one that was designed just specifically, say, for volunteers at Lumen Field or something. And that's how that mix-up happened. It's unfortunate, but nobody was out to sort of screw with anybody. It just sort of happened in an effort to try to get the word out. It got the word out too efficiently.
I canceled mine.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah.
Without it being canceled beforehand? So you don't know that you were scheduled for the Johnson & Johnson, but you...
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I... They didn't tell me what I was scheduled for. I scheduled at 9:15, and I canceled it last night because I
did you
reading some
cancel out
research.
Of spite?
From,
I mean,
no,
why
no,
did
no,
you
no.
Cancel?
I was. Oh, okay. I saw some research from a University of Pennsylvania surgeon who was explaining, because he was trying to look at his research on why some people have an adverse reaction. Mm. And he said, listen, I think the vaccines are amazing, but if your body already has the antigens and you have fought SARS or COVID, you might already, you're like, think of it like the military. They're already there. They're in their battle. They're available in your bloodstream. And there's certain things that they do once they're in your bloodstream. And you might have it. You might have been exposed to COVID, say, 6 months ago. He said what this guy is suggesting is what everybody should do, according to the research that he looked at and he's been studying, is that he said, I think if you got a test first to tell if you had the antigens, if you have them present in your bloodstream, you might want to wait a little bit before going ahead and getting the vaccine, as opposed to just getting the vaccine and maybe already having those present in your body, and those antigens and the vaccine together, you might have a reaction that could be considered to be adverse. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to get another box of these tests that I have and test myself to see if I have it present in my system. And if I do, then I won't get the vaccine until later. So I'm going to just...
Okay.
Yeah. It's called science. But apparently the government just wants you just everybody get vaccinated. Go ahead. And they know that a certain percentage of people will have some sort of adverse reaction. But as long as we get the majority of people in, we can expect... You know, certain percentage of people to have an adverse reaction. I just don't want to be.
You were
the one
mocking the stoppage because one out of literally a million, six out of 6 million, got it. But now, so in this case, it could be just as low a percentage. You're willing to wait?
No, if you go to the CDC, I can show you the link. There's a CDC every single day reports on adverse reactions to all of the vaccines. Uh-huh. So you can see everyone, 20,000 some reactions, and they categorize what the reaction is, what's happening within the reaction for each one of the different types. So,
but it's just getting sick and
it's not easy to find.
Is it just
a whole
sick,
bunch
though?
Of variety of things. It's sometimes it's sick, okay,
cause
but
a
it
lot
can
of
be
people
even more.
Sick, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know what? I don't want to get sick. And if I maybe if there's one other way to know what's in my bloodstream prior to, why not, right?
Sure. I have no problem with knowing more. Sure.
Right. Well, I mean, you obviously do, or you're okay with YouTube taking down information that they feel is misinformation? Yep.
I suppose it depends on the misinformation.
It depends on the guy.
Is this a Great Barrington doctor?
No, it's not. But it was also, this would probably be taken down if it was up on YouTube, but it wasn't. All right, Tracy Taylor. I don't know how you possibly choose what's more entertaining. Marco Cicchettino. Or Rachel Bell. If they're both standing there, right there beside each other, there's Muckleshoot Casino, there's Rachel Bell, probably in the parking lot of Muckleshoot. And you'd have to go, where do I go? Where? And Rachel's like looking at you like, me, pick me, me. Hard.
Me.
Hobson's
pick
Choice
me.
Is its no, it's a Hobson's Choice. Hobson's Choice we're looking for.
Do you remember that from the movie Annie, where there was the little dog, and then Annie wanted the dog, and then this other mean person wanted the dog, and they were like, come here, girl. Come on, girl. That's me. I'm that dog.
Yes. It's just you.
It's me. Yeah, you know that. You know that. Yeah.
Hey, take us to going on vacation now? Are we going on vacation? Is that what's happening?
Some of us are and some of us aren't. But this little story is an ode to our friend Tom, the Francophile of the three of us.
That's
so
right.
This comes from The Atlantic. And the title of this article is For One Glorious Summer, Americans Will Vacation Like the French. The French. I can't even say the names of other countries anymore. I haven't gone anywhere or their languages. So we all know at this point that Americans are just complete garbage at using their vacation time. You know, if you're lucky enough to get paid vacation, you might only have 2 weeks. And Americans left 768 million vacation days on the table in 2018. Well, Europe is the opposite of us. You know, every country has a different vacation amount, but you know, most of them, it's like you're going to get anywhere from 3 weeks to 8 weeks. And according to The Atlantic, in France, so many boulangeries shut down for vacation in the summer that it can be hard to get a baguette. Or in August, half, can you imagine this in this country? Half of the country's salaried employees will take a week off in August. Nobody is at work. So they give all of these examples, and they're suggesting that that might be the case in our country this summer for the first time ever, because, of course, people have been inside, not traveling for over a year now, and people are getting vaccinated, you know, flights are opening up. And the idea is that everybody is going to take their vacation time all at once this summer, or at least they're going to try to, and their managers might not let them because this is not France and that's not how it works. But in this article, there was somebody who said that they think a lot of companies are going to pick a week and just let everybody take it off and just close down. I think that's really specific to what industry you work in. But people are traveling. So reservations to Mexico are up 230% over 2019 on Priceline. But here to conclude before we discuss is why I don't think we've gone full European yet. So, of course, working from home, a lot of people have blurred the line. They don't know when they're working. They don't know when they're not working. And the biggest bump on Priceline.com, which is a 165% bump, is for these flight and hotel booking packages. And they believe that the reason people are booking these packages is because they're going to go away for a few weeks and vacation and work. So they're not really on vacation. They're just going to work from a beautiful place. So, you know, growing up in this country, everything is like, what do? Reach for the stars, you know, go up that ladder. Like, people here are so work focused. I don't know if this is going to teach people to take their vacation days.
Yeah, part of it, the suggestion is that people saved up, so the vacations they normally would have taken in 2020, they didn't. And if you're allowed by your company to, you know, to flop them over to the following year, this year, then we have double the amount of vacation, or at least extra vacation, and now we're going to start cashing in because we are so pent up with travel needs and desires that haven't been met yet. Yeah, the thing is, you know, that's really true about the French. The worst time to go to Paris is in August, because not only is it the heavily touristed time, but also most of the shops are shut down because so much of France does take off. I don't understand how the French economy survives by having, it feels like, half the city, at least in Paris. I don't know what it's like out in the rural areas, but if you got half of your country shut down for 2 to 3 weeks in a particular time, I would just think the economy would grind to a halt. But apparently they've worked things out. That would never happen here. I think we spread out our vacations enough, but August is the go-to month for just about every French person I know. And it doesn't matter if everybody is gone. They don't care. They want to be gone too.
That's the whole topic, anything is ever closed here, even on Christmas.
Right. The casual nature of being somewhere in Italy. My brother was telling me that he was studying abroad and he's standing next to the door and for the bank. And Chuck says, when's the bank open up? The sign says 1 o'clock. They said, might be one, could be two. It's like, oh, really? That might come back at 2 o'clock. They may come back. They may not come back. The general sort of, I guess it's not lazy. It's just something is more important than being right back at work at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes, a siesta. Yes.
My experience with Italy is very much the same. Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you can tell where our priorities are by all kinds of things. Like, Tom, you know this. We've talked about on the show before. The rudest thing to ask at a French dinner party is, what do you do for a living? I mean, people think that is so incredibly rude. You come to an American party, that is the most common first thing that people will ask you. And so it shows you what priorities are. You know, in this country, we're so focused on work life, and it's a real big part of a lot of people's identities. And in a lot of European countries, they work to make money so they can do the fun stuff, which is what I've always done too. And I don't know if it's partially because I was raised by a foreigner, because my dad actually always talked about that when I was growing up. Like, you know, we were working so that we can do fun things. You know, like your job is not your main focus of your life. You do a good job when you're there, and then you switch your brain off and you do other things.
And John, you never stop
talking about. What do they talk about in France? They go to a cocktail party. What are they talking about? If they're not talking about work, are they complaining about the government?
You know, the poetry and the arts and thefts.
They talk. They love politics. You know? They talk politics. They talk food. They talk fashion. They talk about the weather. There's still plenty to talk about besides your job. To me, the easiest thing to do is once you find out what somebody does, that's like the entree. They feel like that's the thing that you save till the very, very, very end. Only most intimate friends end up talking about what their job is. To us, it's an opening.
Excusez-moi, monsieur.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Tom, with the entree. Oh, also fun.
Entree.
That's a great term, too.
Entree. Fixed price. Did I say that right? Fixed price, right?
Yeah.
All righty. Tracy Taylor, are you planning on going on vacation this year?
Yes, I am planning on going on vacation in August.
Aha.
Oh, you Frenchie, you.
It's all
French. All right. Oh. Sorry.
All righty. If you're walking along, you're texting us, that's good. State Roofing text line at 98973. Or perhaps you're walking outside and you're heading into traffic. Maybe you're walking right into traffic and you're writing to us at mynorthwest.com, sending us a letter of the day. Could be the last letter you ever send. According to some group that studies groups of people and the fact that 11,000 people are injured every single day while walking and texting, and something needs to be done. Stories go back to 2010, I had seen. And now, apparently, some states, that's right, when you get regulation involved, so Hawaii and New York have recently passed or considering laws to crack down on pedestrian cell phone usage. So I guess Google is trying to get out ahead of this by having a little friendly reminder pop up on your phone while you're walking and texting. You'll also look down at your phone and you'll see this. Watch your step with heads up. So you're texting and you're not looking up, and then you're reading. If you're walking while using your phone, get a reminder to focus on what's around you. Use with caution. Heads up doesn't replace paying attention. So I guess this is the same sort of thing you get into a car and it says, you know, if you're going to be using this display, realize that using the display while driving, you know, that little thing on your car, you click, 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 saying, yeah, I understand that. I assume all responsibility. Bang, you hit click and you accept, and then off you go in your car. I guess this is Google's way of just sort of getting out ahead of it. The regulations that may be coming. Right, Tom? Get this on your phone. Don't walk and text.
Yeah, and I don't think they're doing this in fear of upcoming legislation. I think they're just thinking that this is something that might be helpful. And when at first blush you'd think, this is ridiculous. This is like a reminder to do something that you shouldn't need a reminder to do. But my guess is that enough of us walk and use our phones that this probably doesn't hurt, and it might even help people, because I think just about everybody probably has an example of, yeah, I was distracted and I ended up, you know, walking into this or not noticing that. So to me, the funniest thing about this is that reminder that first of all they tell you, yeah, you know what, you know, be aware of your surroundings. And then Google actually notes this, the function is called Heads Up, is, quote, not a replacement for actually being aware of what's around you, which I love the inanity of that. But still, I think the point isn't that, oh, well, now that we know we can have a warning on our phone, we can rely on that and not have to pay attention. It's just kind of a reminder that, you know, keep your eyes on the road. Who needs to be told that? And yet sometimes if you're starting to doze off or whatever, it might be a helpful kind of a jolt to remind you of something that should be common sense anyway.
Especially don't do it in Honolulu, because they passed the law you can no longer walk and text.
Wow. And what is the penalty? Is it like jaywalking or something?
It says, I mean, here, pay attention while walking. Your Facebook status update can wait. I guess they're going to, same as jaywalking. They would get you and fine you.
I mean, they'd give you a fine.
You go to one of those really awful luau's where the food is so salty. And they give you a tremendous amount of really bad alcohol in the beginning, and then you sit there and eat poi, and it's awful. And then the dancers seem disengaged from the dance that they're doing, and you pay $49 a person. I don't like Hawaii, never liked Hawaii, don't recognize it as the 50th state, and go ahead, pass all the laws you want.
The funny thing for Hawaii, I think it would be counterproductive, because when I think of Hawaii, they're so tourism-oriented, most tourists are probably going to be the ones on their phones crossing the street, and you don't want to antagonize the number one industry that your state is relying on. So I'm a little surprised that they're the ones going for it.
Yeah. Does it bother you, go there and they charge you more than if you have a Hawaii driver's license, you don't pay the same rate as somebody else?
I don't think I realized that. It's so much nicer to be distracted by the sun and the beaches that I think we're willing to put up with a lot more than we might somewhere else.
One of these days, they'll join the union. All right, Tracy Taylor.